Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, and thereabouts, all cities that surround the area, and then some. We thank God for spreading the word across the waters in various countries. We thank the Lord for that too, that whoever's hearing us up in Canada also, whoever is hearing us, we want to send greetings to you this chilly morning in Florida. It does not feel like Florida today, people. we're down into the 30s today. Oh, my. Isn't Florida something? Sun shining, though. It's sunny, it's shining. It definitely is a sunshine state. Didn't say what kind of weather there'd be with the sun either. Praise God. My. We have a day today is to remember. Sleeping weather, good sleeping weather, people. Yes, so glad to be with you today. And listen, call us, 347-857-3925. Give us a call, if you will. We're waiting to hear from you. Now get your hand from under the covers. None of that blanket and that throw you got on, you know, that quilt. You know, all that cover you got on you now. And listen, dial the number. Talk to us today. Maybe we can warm you up. How about that? Isn't God good? Hallelujah. All right. Here we are with the prayer list.
Are you warming up now?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thanking God for this day. Lord, as we come before you this day, Lord, we ask you, Father, for forgiveness of any sin, Father God, that we have committed or those that we are praying for committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Lord. Father, we ask you for your forgiveness, Lord. And, Father, just as you are just to forgive us, Lord, we forgive those that trespassed against us, Lord. Giving you all honor, glory, and praise that is due unto your holy name. Thanking you this day, Lord, Father, for yet still hearing prayers, Lord, and answering. We thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord, Father. Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, Lord, Father, you know each and every person name by name, Lord, Father. Father, though we may not call every name, Lord, you know what each and every person need, what each and every person, Lord, Father, need at the present time, Father. We thanking you right now, Lord, Father, for your will being done right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for bringing Deacon Michael out of the hospital, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father, for just having your way with him, Lord. We ask you to continue to touch his body, touch him from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray for Pastor Dungy, Lord, Father. Touch her from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet, Lord, Father. And we say, body line up with the word of God. And we're thanking you right now, Lord, Father, for a praise report right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we ask you to touch all those, Lord, Father, that are dealing, Father God, with some form of cancer, Lord, Father. Father, we come against cancer right now in the name of Jesus, pulling it up from the root cause and all the tentacles that goes along with it right now. And we're thanking you right now, Lord, Father, for touching their bodies right now, Lord, giving them strength, Lord, Father. Father, we hold to you Barbara Hardin. We hold to you, Jennifer. We hold to you, Lord Thomas Hyde. We hold to you, Eldred Christian. Father, we hold them before you, Lord Father, thanking you, Lord Father, for touching them right now, Lord. We hold to you, Deidre, Lord. Touch them, Lord Father. Strengthen them, Lord Father. Father, touch Crystal right now, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for what you're doing for them, Lord. Father, let them trust, Lord Father, in your word, Lord Father. Let them speak and claim and receive their healing from you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Touch those that are dealing with dialysis, Lord. Father, touch their bodies. Strengthen them, Lord Father. Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you, knowing, Lord Father, that nothing is too hard for you, Lord Father. Father, touch the nurses, Lord Father, the attendants that deal with them as they continually hook them up to these machines, Lord Father. Father, give them, Lord Father, a steady hand, Lord Father. Father, let them treat, Lord Father, their patients with compassion, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, Lord. Show forth your love, Lord Father God, in them right now, Lord Father. Father, we're in this world, Lord Father, that has begun, Lord Father, to be so loveless to others, Lord, showing compassion, Father. We speak right now, Lord Father, love right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father, not just for the holidays, Lord Father, but 365 days, 24/7, Lord Father. We speak love right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we ask you to touch those right now, Lord Father, on the broadcast, Lord. Those that will be listening at a later time, Father, we ask you to touch them, Lord. Touch their ears and touch their hearts, Lord. Father, that you give them the ear to hear and the heart to receive the word as it continually come forth, Lord, Father. Father, they may know someone, Lord, Father, that need the word, Lord, Father. Let them not keep it to themselves, but, Father, share it with others, Lord. We thank you. We're thanking you right now for just showing up and showing out on this broadcast. We thank you, Lord Father, for using, Lord Father, Apostle Deacon Michael, Pastor Sharon, Pastor Dungy, Lord Father. Each and every time the word come forth, we thank you, Lord Father, for using them, Lord. And we thank you for the ears and the hearts that receive the word that come forth. Father, we cover this broadcast under the blood right now. And, Father, we cancel all assignment that was sent towards this broadcast. Anyone listening on this broadcast or speaking on this broadcast, we cancel it right now and render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, I ask you to touch my apostle, Lord, Father. Cover her under the blood from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet, Lord, Father. Father, as she bring forth the word this day, Lord, Father, use her in a mighty and a special way, Lord. Father, continue to decrease her as you increase in her, Lord. Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord. So, Father, we ask you to just have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God is good. If we didn't pray for you, all right, you didn't give us your prayer request. You didn't call us, write us, let us know in some way that you need the prayer. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened? Amen. What happened now? Come on. 347-857-3925. Give us a call, punch to 9, and we will converse with you to see just what it is that you need us to do that. And we thank God for you, still thanking God for you, whether you do or not. But we'll send a general prayer to you, all those that are in need, because we believe in praying for you. We believe in praying for people, even our enemies. We pray for them also, you know. And don't forget, lift your leaders up in prayer today. Yeah. Lift them up. They need your prayers too. Bless God. Don't forget me. Pray for me too. Praise the Lord. Amen. And God good. Hallelujah. All right. Let me try to give you this word today. When excuse me. We increase our ability, stability and responsibility when we increase our sense of accountability to God. We increase our ability, stability, and responsibility when we increase our sense of accountability to God. All right. What kind of abilities are you dealing with today? What kind are you dealing with? I hope it's an accountability. Be accountable for your actions, your ways, your thoughts, too. You know, we never put that in thought. We need to account for the thoughts that we have, because sometimes we can really think some weird stuff, you know. And let's just admit it. We talking about everybody. We not talking about no one person, but everybody can think, you know. You know why? Because, listen, I'm not in your mind. You're not in my mind, you know. And you say, what you thinking? And you expect somebody to tell you what they're thinking? Not really, do you? And they'll tell you something, but it might not be what they're really thinking. You probably couldn't handle it anyway. But let's be careful about how we think also. Be accountable for good thoughts, happy thoughts, joyous thoughts. Yes, even though you're cold, all that, whatever's going on, you know, just what can you say? You can't change the weather. God is in control of that. It's not. God is in control. And we thank God for it today. We thank God for everything. You know, a lot of us got colds. People got colds and everything. I know you say, but don't say that. Well, now, what else you doing? Sneezing all over people.
Come on now.
And coughing all over people. What else I'm supposed to say? I don't want you to share that. What I want you to share, you don't want to share. You see what I'm saying? Praise God. My God. Well, now, listen now. We just say this: the name of this broadcast is what time to talk about it. Okay? And so from time to time, we talk about stuff, you know, praise God. Things that we do, and we're not aware that we do some things, and some things we are aware of. And we need to stop doing some of them things we are aware of that we shouldn't talk about or think about. All right? That's all time to talk about is. We discuss different things here today. We try to keep it clean, praise the Lord. You know, we're not trying to hurt you, per se, because we don't really know you. In order to say anything to hurt you, now if it hurts you, that means God is speaking to you. Trying to get you straightened out there. He wanted to say, want to get your attention. Well, we thank God that Deacon Mike is out of hospital and all. We thank God for that. Amen. And we thank God that Diane is out. The hospital food. Praise God. Look like this is the season for people to be taking a walk to the little place, you know, the little house with all the tubes in it and stuff, you know. Praise God. My God, my God. Well, we thank God anyway. You know, we thank God for healing those ones that he's healed already. And, oh, yes, we just, before I go any further, we want to send our condolences to Nurse Bree, one of the nurses at that doctor's office where we go for years. She's been there. And her mother just died, okay? Her mother had been sick for a while. She just died. And we sent greetings to her and also to another person that called us from Tallahassee. Her sister, I believe, died, the Williams family in Tallahassee. I don't know them per se, but we sent in condolences to them. Her sister got killed. Somebody killed her. stabbed, I think, or something like that. I don't know which one it was, really, because I don't know them per se. They just called us. They knew that we pray for people and all, and they called us, okay? So you got any kind of emergency or something you want us to pray, we will pray for you also, because we have a list of people that we are praying for. We don't know all of them per se, but, you know, if they ask for prayer, we still know them by Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we are honored to pray for you, you and you. Yes, because I believe that you'll do the same for me. You know, I need your prayer, too. I'm not going to say anything, but I do need your prayers, too, today. Amen. The enemy is really on the warpath, but the more he on the warpath, the more God says what he's going to do. He's going to bless immensely. So we are just doing what? Holding on to his words. This is what we're holding on to, God's unchanging hand. That means his word will not change. It will stay the same. And we are going to hold on to it because it won't change. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm believing God today. Amen. For everything. I mean everything. Yes, yes, yes. Because we are willing to go past what we are supposed to go. We go the extra mile. Will you go the extra mile for someone? You know, that's a sacrifice, to walk the extra mile for people. And most people don't want to do that. But, you know, I love a person. Oh, I just love it when they go the extra mile. And you don't ask them. You know what I mean? They do it because love is in their heart. You see, and they love God, and they love God's people. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. And you go the extra mile. Yes, you will. You don't sit up and be angry all the time. You know, a person angry all the time, that's like a wind that don't ever change, you know, always blowing some drama somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, praise God. We need to lay hands and deliver them, but we don't need to lay hands on them the other way, you know, the fivefold ministry on them the other way. We won't do that. We'll just send greetings and prayers to them that God will undertake in whatever area their life is needed. You know, I thank God. I thank God. I thank God for Sister Dale calling me the other day just to say hello and to see how I was doing. And she's flat on her back. She's bedridden. And she calls in all the time on the prayer line. She calls in on Blog Talk. She calls all the time, and she calls us and talks. She have other people listening to. She bring others in. Now that's evangelizing, even though she can't get up out the bed. And I say, my, you doing more evangelist work than some of these evangelists are doing. Mm-hmm. And she called me, and let me tell you, I am so happy and thrilled about the fact, and just talked about, well, nothing really, but you know, small talk, I'll call it, and the weather and, you know, different aspirations. She want to go on a cruise, you know, praise God, one of these days. I say, well, somebody will pick you up and carry you, but it won't be me because I'm not going on no more cruises, you see, and all of that. So, you know, God is so good, isn't he good? Look how he picks you up when you're a little down. God will send somebody by. Somebody just to call you, just to talk to you, just to say hi, I was thinking on you. You know, it doesn't that make you feel good?
Yes.
It should make you feel. It makes me feel good that, 'cause I feel like just a few people, there's a few people on my list that will call me, that I know will call me, and that really thinks about me. You know, I know the few people that we, I notice I say few. Okay, but now, you know, I like to do that. Somebody get on my mind. You know what the old church used to tell me long years ago?
That means God needs you to pray for them or go talk to them. They need encouragement. They need somebody to tell them something, to talk to them. Do you get it? That's why we do that, and I try to encourage people to do the same. If you're lying in your bed at night and somebody come across your mind, you need to get up right then and pray for them because they need prayer right then. I'm trying to encourage you to be an evangelist, too. Whatever else you may be called, be an evangelist, too. Be a person with compassion. Huh? Much compassion. Don't worry about, they're going to get upset. They're going to get upset. They're just waiting for you. See? God got them waiting just like he did for Elijah and the widow Zarephath. See? She was waiting for Elijah. Elijah had to move to get there. Do you get it? And this is what God have us to do. Move. You got the telephone. Move at that hour to get in touch. Sometimes if you get to your computer, somebody may be on there and looking for your encouragement. See, this is why I say preachers should not, real preachers, should not get upset. You know, when people say this and that and the other to them on the media, on the Facebook or whatever you're on, Twitter, whoever you're on. Well, that is why you're on there, to do what? To communicate with others, isn't it? So now you may not like everything that's said, but you can always delete. You know, there's that button that says delete, click. And it's off, you know. You can always do that. But, you know, it's good to find there's people sometimes that's the only medium they have to converse with somebody. They are lonely, you know, and they want to talk with somebody. Some guarantee, yeah, we know, some talk foolishness, and all those are the ones you click off. You see what I'm saying? You cut them off there and say, well, you know, this is the way you're going to talk and converse with me and chat, then we don't need to be chatting. You understand? See, be nice about it. And let me tell you, showing that you have some sense. And they don't, you know, even though if they get mad, because you don't want to talk to them, you know, and all that. Say, no, well, now listen, go with your foolishness someplace else, because I don't have the time. You know, that's the way you do things. Amen. Praise God. But don't forget to love people. This is the love season. Christmas. Christmas and Valentine's is the two love seasons supposed to be, right? You love people enough to send your enemy a gift. Don't send them no bombs or nothing now. Be nice. Don't go that route, because they're going to put you in jail. Okay, I'm telling you now. But, you know, if you got an enemy, send them a beautiful card, you know, and just say, you know, I love you in Christ. Now, you don't know whether you love them for real, but just say you love them in Christ. Praise God. I'm just trying to encourage you to reach out, you know, this season. Reach out, the season to be jolly. Hey, every day you should be jolly to me, but since you decided you wanted a season to be jolly, this is the only season you're going to be jolly. Soon as Christmas is over, you're back to the same old, you know, being miserable. Why y'all do that? I don't know why people do things like that. That is the craziest thing with people I know. You know, why can't you just be jolly all the time? You know, sick or well. You sick, you can what do you say? A merry heart does good like a medicine. Isn't that what the book says? So have a merry heart if you need some medicine. You need some healing. Have a merry heart and watch God work. I met a comedian. And when I was on the way to Palm Springs, California, one year, I was on the way there, and I met this comedian, and he had us cracking up, you know. I wasn't in the mood to crack up because I was stranded in Chicago in the cold and didn't have a coat. Okay, just trying to tell you, I was not Now, Happy Campbell, you know, didn't have nowhere to stay. I had to sit up all night in the cold. Okay, I thank God for the Salvation Army because they had a cot out there. They had a little thing they was passing out, hot coffee. I think I drank some coffee that night. You hear what I'm saying? And then the next morning they tell me, well, the plane will not be ready, cannot go until late this afternoon. I said, now, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute here. I said, this ain't going to work. I said, I got to find a plane that's leaving out of this cold. And I walked and I walked till I found a plane that was going to leave in a little while. And Lord have mercy, I say, listen, I got to have this plane. I'm freezing to death here. I ain't got no coat. I said, I got five people with me, and we all freezing. We from Florida, ain't none of us got no coat. I said, we need to go. Can you get us on this plane? And they say, of course. I say, when? She say, in just a few minutes. Can you get here by then? I say, ma'am, I'm going to find wings to fly the way they had to get them to come over here. I went and got everybody, went back. That's where I met the comedian. He tell us, oh, smile. I say, yes, I am smiling. He say, well, why you smiling? So ain't nobody else smiling. I say, mister, when I got on the plane wouldn't start because it needed fixing for 4 hours. That was miserable. After I got here, I got to get off, and I almost froze to death. Then, don't have a plane to catch to get out of here. Then, my hotel reservations was canceled. And I got to laugh. I said, isn't that funny to you? He said, you know what? I got you just in time. Here's my book. He reached in his bag and handed me his book. That you laugh when things go bad, you feel much better. And I looked at it. I said, get out of here. I said, this is real funny. I said, God got a sense of humor, doesn't he? And he said, yeah. He said, the book is about his wife who had cancer, and he had to suffer with her all the time she had it. But he kept her laughing, and she said, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, making me laugh, you know, because she felt better when he made her laugh. And he said, that's why he wrote the book on it. I said, wow. I said, you know what? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this, you know, like that. And then we went on to where we was going. We went on to California. And let me tell you, God was blessing. God blessed after we got there in such a magnificent way, even though we had trials before then. Do you see? But we smiled. I had to get everybody else to smile because they were miserable too. So the man make me smile, I make them smile, and everybody starts to laughing. And we had a good time after then. God is so good. You don't never know how he's going to work for you. Do you see? You just don't know. He can take your sickness and turn that completely around, and somebody else will get healed and you won't. Now, isn't that something? Have you ever thought about that? Other people will get healed and you won't get healed. And you go, okay, God, well, why come you didn't heal me? I'm up here laying hands on other people and they getting healed and I ain't healed. You'll never ask them questions?
You might forget about him.
You
might forget about God and what he's done to you.
Well, that's true, too. You don't never know how you may react to if he did heal you at that time. He may have a time to heal you, but it's not right then. See if you will cooperate with God when you're in trouble. Have you ever thought about that? Huh? When you get in trouble, you don't want to pray for nobody.
Nope.
You ain't going to pray for nobody.
Nope.
Nobody better not say, oh, I don't even feel like praying for you. I'm in trouble myself. You know, and we get an attitude, huh? But when you look at that man, I can't think of his name. He don't have no arms and he don't have no legs.
He's going across the country preaching the gospel. Huh? And you would say, well, what has he got to preach for? He's alive, isn't he? Hmm? God has given him his word. Just because these few little parts didn't materialize when he came here does not mean he has to keep his mouth shut. Huh? And the same with us, you, me, and anybody else. Whatever you're going through, you can still move for God. You can still do for God. You got, if you got your hands, you can do. You got a mouth, you can do. Your eyes, ears, whatever. You can still use them for the glory of God. See, our focus shouldn't be on all this, but on the fact that God called you. That's where you should have your focus on. All right? My focus is on the fact that God called me. And he placed his word in within me that when I opened my mouth would show forth the glory of God coming forth to do what? Help someone, heal someone, deliver someone, to comfort someone. Do you get the picture? My. I'm just talking about it today. Today is time to talk about it. So we're just talking about it. You know, you have great assets. Every one of you that is on this line have great assets. Whatever condition you're in, you have great access. And God want to use your assets. Okay? You're not a liability. Just because you don't feel good, you got the doctor say, you got this, that, or other. That's what the doctor say. Leave it in his office. He said it. So leave it with him, and you come on out and say, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That's what you say now. You don't say what the doctor say. Now, the doctor said it, but you leave it with him what he said. But what you say, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I will continue to do the works of God, see, with what I have. Now, to show you an example, you don't always like to show an example. Now, as I said, I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I was lying on the bed, and all of a sudden I told Deacon Mike, I say, this time I got to go to the hospital. God ain't give me nowhere what to do for myself at this time. He usually give me something to do, to say, to take, whatever. But this time, I say, I think I got to go to the hospital, and they had bad news when I got there. I had a blood clot on my lungs. Two blood clots on my lungs. Guess what? I get in the hospital. I got to be bedridden, hooked up, and all this. That was an unpleasant time for me. And then find out I can't be preaching no more. What? You mean I can't do what? Now, that wasn't nice. That wasn't nice. Okay, not for me. That was not nice, people. Amen? Wasn't nice. And guess what I had to do? I talked and preached up in that hospital. I had the nurses come over there talking about their problems, and then I was praying for them, just laying in the bed, just praying for them, you know, talking to them, encouraged them, prophesy. I even prophesied to some of the nurses.
Come on now.
I mean, I was busy just laying there in the bed. And when I finally had to go, when they finally kind of dissolved it, And fixed that up and told me I can go, but I had to take it easy and rest. That's what they told me. Okay. Now, you know, I'm not a person to listen to all that stuff too good. I don't listen too good to that kind of thing because I believe in God. Okay. But nevertheless, I come home, so I told him, I said, well, now, they say I'm not going to be able to do that, but you know what? I heard about this Blog Talk Radio at that time. When it was 2000, what?
2000.
2009. I heard about Blog Talk. I hooked up and got on there, and I only allowed myself 15 minutes at that time. Only 15 minutes. I'm trying to do what the doctor said. Take it easy, people. But I can't stop. You see, when God called you, you don't stop because something hurting or something is gone wrong or somebody don't love you no more. You got a divorce or somebody died or whatever the case is. You don't stop because of these things. You continue on because somebody can benefit from whatever happened to you. Do you get the picture? Somebody can benefit from that. You see what I'm saying? Somebody's waiting for you. Somebody just waiting for you to talk about it, say about it. But you get up there, I don't talk about it. It's too bad. Nothing's too bad to talk about. Because God can heal anything, no matter how bad it is. He can forgive you, too. See? But, see, you think God ain't going to forgive you, but he can forgive you for whatever you do, however you acted, how ugly you was. He's going to make you beautiful, huh? He's going to make you so beautiful. You hear what I'm saying? Because now you know the truth, and the truth lets you free, sets you free. So when you are free, you are able to help somebody else. You can tell them the way to go and where not to go. See, that's the purpose of your testimony, to help somebody else, to know God, the God that you serve, that has brought you out, or healed you, delivered you. God delivered me, so, and that's how I started on Blog Talk all those years ago, because he told me I couldn't do nothing, but you know, I'm hard-headed. I'm going to do something when it come down to God. You're not going to get me in no place like that now, not doing nothing. Can't go to church and can't preach either. Now, something got to give. And so I started 15 minutes. I didn't know Diane then, did I?
Yes, you did.
I did? Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Y'all, please help me. Help me, y'all. Help me, somebody. Help me out. I just said a bad. Okay? Me and time. Me and time. I forgot she was there at the hospital too with me. Yeah, she was there. Amen. I'm sorry. Please forgive me now, because I forgot that time's limit. But she was there. And let me tell you one thing. And I kept on going until I got more strength, and then I increased it to 30 minutes. Stayed with that for a long time, many years stayed with that. Then I increased as I went along and got more strength, you see. So, you know, I didn't allow that to hinder what God called me to do, because he is going to be the one to heal me anyway. Huh? The doctor did what he said. You got to do this, and you got to take this, and you got to do all this here. All that stuff he telling me wasn't just went in one ear and out the other. I tried to be careful, and the other one say, well, I want to see why it happened. I said, well, I don't know why it happened. The devil did it. That's all I know. You know, asking me why it happened. I can't find no way how that blood clot got in there. Well, you can't find it. Why are you looking for me to find it? I don't know nothing about this stuff. You the one told me. See, I didn't know that's what's wrong. You see what I'm saying? So I say, God, you work in mysterious ways. People were in the hospital that needed my help. Do you see? And I wouldn't have seen these people any other time except that time when I was in there. And they said, we don't want you to go. I said, well, I'm very sorry, but I got to get out of here. What are we going to do without you? I said, the same thing you did before I got here.
Praise the Lord. Talking about what we going to do without you. Do the same thing you was doing before I got here, you know, but do it better. Praise God. But see, God have us places in positions sometimes to help somebody that otherwise could not get help. Do you get the picture? So now it's like that other lady, Tato or something. She got a funny name. She married to, I think, a Hawaiian man. I think she's married to. And she can't walk. She had an accident. She cannot walk. She can't use the bottom part of her body. She's in a wheelchair. But she did stop. She paint pictures with her teeth. Huh? She write books. She evangelize and help others in the condition like she is. She give them wheelchairs and stuff. She take them stuff. You see what all the things that you can do because of what? The responsibility to God for what he's done for you, how he raised you up, how he's kept you alive. You still got your right mind. You can still use your tongue and talk good talk. Not bad talk, good talk. Some people use their tongue to malign other people, put them down and drag their name through the mud. You see, they're going to get paid for the stuff they do. See, you've got to remember, he said, whatever man sowed, that is what he's going to reap. And when you reap it the second time, it's not good no kind of way. You got a double portion of what you gave to what somebody else, you gave to somebody else, what you tried to do. You get double portion now. See? Don't pay. But you got to remember what God said. Do you ever say, stay focused on the word? And this is what I wanted to talk to you today about. Staying focused on the word of God. That's what you do. Because, listen, Hebrews 12:1 say, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has already ordained for you to run in this race and win. He's already ordained you for that. Okay? You have no reason to be a failure. Because he's given you two things in this race, time and energy. He's given us both of these. Do you get the picture here? You see what I'm saying? You have to stay focused. Every person that's in a race, the relay races, the whatever races run, horse races, every race going on, people have to pace themselves, don't they? Stay focused. They have the horses with these little blinders on the side so they can stay focused when they're running. You see? Everything has to stay focused. Everybody has to stay focused regardless of what condition you're in. Focus on the good. Focus on what's right. Focus on Jesus Christ. Your righteousness, because he's already given you the power to run this race and to win. He said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. That means no matter what comes, how it comes, it is not going to stop your progress unless you allow it to stop you. It's your choice. You have to choose. You choose whether you want to win this race, you're in it to win or what. Don't come up with, well, you know, I ain't going to win anyway. How do you know? How do you know? God may pick you up and just carry you on through and, yeah, you're the winner. You don't know what God is going to do. All you're doing is depending on him to do whatever he wants to do in this time. whether you're crippled or not, whether you're handicapped or not, whether you have money or not, huh? You cannot have any money. You don't have to have a job, but whatever the case may be, and yet God is providing for you, and people think you rich. Huh? You see what I'm saying? When you live by the faith of God, anything is possible. Do you see? Anything is possible. God, open up the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing. You ain't got room enough to receive it, to restore it either. Do you understand? God can do that for you. You know? But he may not do it because you are not reliable. You're not a responsible person. You don't allow your ability to be a good steward and to do the right thing over what you got. You're not a giving person. All you want to do is receive, receive, receive. I want to get it, get it, get it. You want to get everything. You don't want to give up nothing. You want to give nobody nothing. You don't hardly want to give them the time of day. They ask you what time it is, go find your clock. You know, very disrespectful person. You know, you don't want to be that, do you? You want to be focused on the righteous living. You want to be focused on doing what's right, don't you? You want to be focused on holiness. That's what you want to be focused on. Living a holy life. You ain't a cusser. Know what a cusser is, huh? You ain't a rabble-riser. You know, you always got something bad to say about everybody. Now, everybody ain't wrong now. Okay? Everybody ain't wrong. Because if everybody was wrong, the world wouldn't even be in it, in even in the shape it is in now. Wouldn't be here no more. It'd be gone. Because God ain't standing for everybody to be wrong now. He got some righteous people. He got some people that's living holy. I know you don't believe it. You always think, you know, you see a good-looking woman, and you always think she's out there doing, you know, taking everybody's man or something.
Come on.
Huh? Why you think that? She don't have to be doing it. She may be living holy, presenting her body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is her reasonable service. She may do what? Depend solely on God to keep her and carry her through. And she's not asking anybody for anything, man or woman. And you got something bad to say about her. Oh, I don't believe it, child. Look at her. Well, why are you looking at the woman looks in the first place? You jealous? Huh? Is that what it is? Did you look in the mirror at yourself? How do you look? Somebody may be talking about you too. Huh? Talk about look at her. I heard. And we go on with the I heard thing. Everybody heard something. Is that focus on God? No, you focus on the devil. And when you focus on him, he gives you all his wares to work with. And you work with him. Everything he gives you, you work with it. You throwing it at somebody. Oh, this one ain't right. Oh, that. Oh, the church ain't right. The church ain't right because you don't want to go. See? That's where it is. Tired of hearing people talking about, well, the church ain't right, then why don't go to church? No, you don't go to church because you're too lazy to get up and get dressed. You done partied all night, got drunk and everything. You don't want to go smelling like a liquor factory. Did I say that? Yeah, I said that. See? Truth is light. We do these things, we talk these things because we want an excuse not to do what we should do. You should worship and serve the Lord because he allowed you to live in his world and breathe his breath of air. Everything you got belonged to God because he made it all. You ought to get up just because and go to church. And when you go, don't go in there looking for trouble. Well, the preacher ain't preach. How you know you ain't been to church in 10 years? How you know what's right? How you know he or she right? Oh, praise God, anyhow. Oh, my God, I see the evangelist came out in me. Praise the Lord. See, the Lord, let me tell you, the Lord loves you. Huh? Stop trying to find fault with everything and everybody. Everybody ain't wrong. Huh? And then you need to investigate whether what you're saying is true anyway. You need to investigate it before you start laying it on somebody else.
Oh, yes, Lord. Huh? Thank you, Jesus.
Think about them people calling the cops because the little boy was in the swimming pool because he black. Think about stupid stuff like that. That's some of the dumbest thing you ever seen. Somebody need to take over to the black pool and say, call the cops, say, there's a white woman over here in my pool. And see how they feel.
Oh, Jesus.
Nobody think about doing dumb stuff like that but the devil. Do you see what I'm saying? People with the devil in, and let me tell you, that enemy, that devil is out on the wall pad, and you better put your guards up, have your weapons. I ain't talking about no, what's that, M45, whatever they call that gun. I don't know what that gun is because I'm not a gun person. Amen. You don't need that kind of weapon. You need a weapon of praise, a weapon of serving the Lord and worshiping him and giving him honor and glory. Those are the weapons that you need to do. Call on him instead of the devil and his cohorts. He got a whole army of nuts running around. They're on the warpath. Did y'all know that yet? Well, if you don't, I'm here to inform you now. You're going to have to watch your back. And somebody else's too. Because he's out to get you. Because you are worshiping God. Let me tell you, did you know that he works even harder when you begin to really be truthful with God? When you really walk on with God all the way, you're not taken down for nothing and nobody. Do you know he put his whole army of demons out on you? They're out to do what? Destroy you. Huh? Destroy your testimony. Why would you let him? Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you. Whatever it is that's causing you to be angry, whatever it is causing you to be attitudish, whatever it is causing you to be hostile, vindictive, crazy, growling all the time. Whatever it is that's causing you to that, get rid of it. Empty out the garbage can. Call the garbage company. Say, come get it. Don't even let it stay around your house. Stay around you. Get rid of it. You know? I remember one time I used to love karate. I love me some karate. I was in front of that TV looking at that karate all the time. I don't care who it was, long as it was karate. I go to church. I started acting like them people. I want to chop everybody. They get me wrong. I'm ready to do a karate chop in church now. You hear what I'm saying? Do you know what? I was praying one day, and God revealed to me what was happening. Say, all that mess from that TV had come into me, and that's what I was having. So I had to do what? I had to chop the karate. Get rid of it. I ain't looking at it no more. I ain't going that way no more.
See? And you know that wrestling on Saturday we used to come on every Saturday?
Come on now.
You always want to body slam somebody. Huh? That spirit left that TV and start coming in you. See? And then you do dumb things. You want to do dumb things to people. I had to ask God to help me, deliver me, and forgive me for, hey, I had really got involved up into it, and that spirit had taken over me. Uh-huh. I tell the truth on me and shame the devil. See? And if you all crazy about that karate and them wrestlers out there body slamming folks, what his name, Pretty Boy George and all of them, whatever their names are, Ric Flair and what's that?
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes, yeah, that's the one I liked about that, the Dusty Rhodes and all them people. I was a fan. Never been to one in person, but I was paid. TV every Saturday, I swear I was. Don't ask me nothing else. But I had to get rid of it because this was not glorifying God. I had to lay aside. That was a weight in my life. I had to get rid of that weight. It don't seem like nothing to you, but a lot of different things we have to get rid of that we get all caught up in. You know, well, you know, I do this every week, every month, or whenever you do it. And so, you know, I'm not cutting out nothing. I'm not cutting out nothing. Well, you said it. I didn't. Now, what if God tells you to get rid of it? What you going to do then? You going to keep your little nasty ways? Huh? Come on now. You ain't focused. God is nowhere in your focus now, is he? See? See, when I became focused on God, I drop all those things. This is what you do. You lay aside those things. You get rid of those things out of your life. I don't care, you know. Well, it's just me. It ain't you. Huh? You just acting up somebody else's part. Huh? You think you in the movie. Acting up on some part. That's all you're doing. Pretending. The devil got you pretending. Do you get the picture? You see what I'm saying? And when he got you pretending, how you going to focus on God and his things that he told you to do, whatever he told you to do or whatever he told you to say? You ain't going to say it because you want, I'm going to be me. I'm just going to say what I want to say. You're no more your own. The Bible says you're no more your own, but you're bought with a price. Jesus paid the price for you and I. We cannot do what we just want to do. Now, you can do it. That means you're what? Not in focus? Huh? Therefore, God is not in control in your life. So when things go haywire, who you gonna blame? You ain't blame nobody but yourself. Huh? Who you gonna blame? Nobody but yourself. You can't blame nobody else because you didn't follow suit what he said. He said, don't go there no more. You go anyhow. Don't go over to Joe Buddy's house. I used Joe Buddy. I forgot there's a real person. Don't go over there to Doolittle House. And you go over there anyhow. Well, I'm just going over there to see him because that's my friend. I told you about them friends, didn't I? All the time, a friend ain't a friend. If God tell you to stop going, there's something you don't know about your friend that you need to cut yourself from that friend. But yet and still you want to stay with the friend. You want to stay with Cousin Joe, huh? Because that's my favorite cousin. And God knows something about Cousin Joe you don't know, and he don't want you to have no part. He say, separate yourself, and you still with Cousin Joe. You see? We allow a lot of these things.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Bless God. Well, you know, hey, amen. I'm just staying focused today. You know, praise God the best I can. All right. Where is my girl? That's one of my, this is one of my favorite girls, people. Here she is, none other than our own Dan Dungey. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning, Apostle.
How are you?
I am blessed and standing. Every time I get on your radio station, you got to be in my Kool-Aid. I was like, look, what? She's a beautiful person. She's wonderful. She's got so much wisdom and knowledge and all this. And why did you hook us up?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think about it, and there's two things.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, no matter what I'm going through, you're going to always talk on it. I don't even have to tell you. But God just puts you in my Kool-Aid. And then another
uh-huh.
thing is you lead by example. I see you go through things, I mean things that would cause a person to just want to get up, give up, and just bury their head in the sand, stay under the sheets, never come out. But you just keep on showing up. And I know my bishop used to tell us, she said, just keep showing up and wear the devil down. And that's what you do. You just keep showing up and you wearing the devil down. I don't know why he's not tired of you by now. I don't know why he keep on messing with you. He already know that you're going to have the victory, that you're going to win. You want a God's
Amen.
Favorite. Amen. But you know what? He going to try until he can't try no more. And that's when he goes to hell eternally, because he going to there. And he said he going to take everybody he can with him. But I know one thing, he's not going to take you. He's not going to take me. He's not going to take those that's attached to you. And I pray that many of you that are on this line today are listening, and you're going to take note of what she's saying. I heard her say something about some people might get mad or get offended about some of the things she said. But she don't even be knowing. She's just speaking what God is putting in her heart to say. And if we get offended, then evidently stepped on our toes. So
uh-huh, uh-huh.
we shouldn't get offended. We should be, it's conviction. It's the Lord saying, hey, don't go that way. You're going the wrong direction. Just like she was saying about our friends and different people like that we want to associate with. If God says, hey, you know what, that's not the way to go, and we continue on, then he's going to have to tell us why, show us why it wasn't supposed to be. And it could get us in a world of trouble. And we're going to still have to go back to God and ask him to forgive us for being disobedient and help us out of the mess. So, you know, when God gives a person something, he's doing it for a reason. God is not a God of just happenstance. He don't just say things. He's not coincidental. Everything that God does, he strategically puts it in place to stop us and help us, to enrich us, to develop us. It's always about doing something better for the good of us. It's not even about him. It's not even about us. Like she was saying about the hospitals, you know, she really stepped on my toes there, because I hate hospitals. I don't like going to doctors. I don't like being messed with at all. And I said I will die in my bed before I go to the hospital. That's what I always say. But she stepped on my toes today. You know, I've written books about how God has healed me and brought me out of three clinical death situations and all kind of accidents and sickness and illness. And I actually thought that my time was up for going through things, but I find now that I'm still going have to go through some medical issues. I guess God wants me to give testimony and write about that. But anyway, my doctor kept telling me to go to the hospital, and I wouldn't go. But I was being selfish. How did I know that God didn't have somebody in there that I need to minister to, just like Apostle was saying? When she was in there on her back going through the things with the blood clots and everything, she was witnessing and praying and evangelizing. So I'm cutting somebody else's blessing short because I would have been disobedient. And it don't have to be with the hospital. It might be, you know, one time my granddaughter asked me about going to the hot tub one night. And I was like, oh, I'm tired. But I said, you know what? There's a reason she asked me that. I better go. And sure enough, there was two young ladies that was going through some really bad stuff. And I ended up praying with these young ladies and ministering to them. And even today, and that's been like a couple months ago, but they're still contacting me. One of them has reconciled with her family member. She had left home, some teenagers. So God has a reason. I went to Walmart one night. Didn't feel like going, but I went. And there was a lady in a wheelchair, and I was going to walk past her, and the Holy Spirit said no. I went back. I said, ma'am, do you mind if I pray for you? And I laid hands on her, and I prayed for her, and she was just jubilant. I've been in line where a lady didn't have enough money for her groceries, and the Holy Spirit encouraged me to pay her for her groceries. We don't know what God has set up. We may not ever see that person again. We may not know whether they've been healed. But one thing we know, we were obedient to God, and God had a reason for us doing that. So we have to be obedient. And when we go through things, you know, Apostle's talking about staying focused on God. And it kept in my spirit, stay focused on God no matter what. Stay focused on God no matter what. Because there's a reason. There's a reason why God allows us to go through things. Because he's not a mean God. He doesn't put sickness and illnesses on us. He doesn't cause us to be in death or anything like that. A lot of things, we make decisions ourselves. Some things happen because God has a plan and purpose for it. It's going to not only be beneficial for us, but it's going to be beneficial for bringing somebody closer to God. So we have to keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds open to what God is doing in our life. He said, don't be focused on your four and no more. We got to get outside the box. We got to start saying, okay, Lord, you got me. This is going on. Could you show me the purpose for it? What is it I'm supposed to learn in this? What is it? Who is it I'm supposed to help or bless in this? I got to get out of me. I got to get out of the self. And I thank Apostle for that. I want to share with you guys real quick article that was written by a pastor. His name was Gene Whitehead, I believe. And as Apostle was talking, I ran across this article, and I want to share it. And it's 5 ways to stay focused on God. You know, you hear about staying focused on God. You hear about, you know, God is this, God and that. But how do we do it? What are some of the ways that we can stay focused? Apostle gave us a bunch. And the article that I'm reading is just actually confirming everything Apostle said, just in a different manner. Not taking anything from her, but God said he always confirmed his word with 2 or 3 witnesses. So I'm going to be one of the witnesses today, and this guy that wrote the article is the other witness. So we're just going to share with you 5 ways to stay focused on God. And staying focused on God is believing in his promises. The first way, begin the day with God. Begin your day with God. I know it sounds simple enough, and it's going to be one of the first suggestions you'll find in any article like this, but it's for a good reason. If you or I are going to stay focused on God, we've got to include the things of God in our daily life. You probably heard that when something repeated twice in the Bible is something to pay attention to, right? How about if it's repeated 10 times in one teaching? That's how many times Jesus used the word abide or remain in John 15, 1 through 11. Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in me. He repeats that in 2 other ways in John 15:5-7, also giving a warning and a promise. He said, whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do no thing. You can do nothing. We can't even wake up and breathe in the morning. We can't even open our eyes. We can't even talk. We can't even taste if it wasn't for God giving us that ability. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown in the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. God says, call unto me in Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call unto me. Call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. But we got to call on him. We got to ask him. We got to pray and then believe that what we're praying and asking for, that we're going to get it. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we just got to believe that it's going to happen. We have to stay focused on God. That requires abiding in him. I know sometimes your mornings are rushed, but if you create and discipline yourself to spend the first minutes of your day reading the word of God and talking to him about your day ahead, you will have a greater focus on him throughout the day. So you wake up, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Big Brother Jesus. That's some of the things I say. Thank you for waking me up this morning, my right mind, allowing me another day, another time to make whatever I may have done right, wrong, make it right. Help me to be a blessing to somebody else today. Take yourself out of the equation and ask God, what is it that you would have, what is it that you would have me to do today? Who would you like me to bless today? Order my steps, Lord. Different things like that. And if you don't know where to start, try reading John 15, 1 through 11 each morning for a week. John 15, verses 1 through 11. Start reading that each morning for a week. And it won't take you long. And the passage is crazy profound. That's the first thing you can do. A second thing you can do to stay focused on God is remain in prayer. Do you want to create and develop the habit of prayer, a prayer life? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 makes one simple yet bold command. It says, pray without ceasing. You can pray anywhere, anytime, for whatever reason. Sometimes you can just say in your spirit, Lord, help me. You in a meeting, everything is chaos. Lord, bring peace to this meeting. Lord, show me what to do when you don't know what to do on a certain situation. This is a habit worth developing, and it is not as difficult as you may think. When you see or hear a news report that bothers you, pray for the people in the situation. When you come across someone that annoys you or tries your patience, finally pray for them. When you hear of someone facing some problem, large or small, pray for them. I know every time when I'm riding or I'm even in my place, if I hear sirens, I immediately say, Lord, Lord Jesus, heal them, and they shall see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. They shall live and not die, but see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't know what's going on with that person in that ambulance. I don't know what. And then if I hear a fire truck, I say, Lord, save them and save their possessions. Let them not lose everything. And if they do lose something, let them give it back to them 10,000-fold or whatever. But pray something, because that's constantly keeping you prayed up. God doesn't need no long-winded, eloquent prayers laced with these and thous and almighty. He wants our heart.
Amen.
And often in prayer, that sounds as simple as, God help. Lord help.
Amen.
Lord, this is too big for me. Can you do this? Number three, limit the distractions. We have to keep a clear space between us and God. We can't keep our eyes on what we can't see, physically or spiritually. If it doesn't really concern, if it's something that you really can't do, it's beyond your ability, give it to God. If it's just something that's busyness, something to get you off the track, you know, you be working and all of a sudden you get a pop-up, an email. Push it to the back burner. Don't open it right now. There are some things that does not require our attention at the moment. We have to prioritize. We have to stay focused. In Joshua 3:4, the people of Israel are commanded to keep a distance of 2,000 cubits between them and the Ark of the Covenant. That's about a half of a mile. And the purpose was so the people of Israel will always be able to see the Ark and all types of terrain that they were traveling through. In our spiritual life, when we fill the spaces with all kinds of conveniences and distractions, it becomes very difficult and sometimes even impossible to see where the Lord is leading us because our focus is on the wrong thing. Stop focusing on what somebody else is doing or what somebody else has. Focus on and thanking God for what he has already given you. And if you believe in God for something, you thank him for it and then keep on moving on. Another way to get off your stuff is start praying for somebody else's need has a need. Because we can overcome this by limiting the distractions, the busyness, and our own lack of discipline by making a conscious effort to keep the Lord number one spot in our lives. The fifth way to purpose God is in serve God. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus teaches, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot be working all the time, working on Sundays, working on the weekends, working throughout the week, and then expect to still keep a constant relationship with God. You have got to be fed. Whenever you ministering at work, you think you're doing good because you're talking to people about God, but you have to be filled up as well. You have to have a time to go to church and get the word. You have to be able to read the word. Don't always be reading contracts and what I need to do in order to do better at work, self-help things. That's good, but God is the greatest self-help. His word is the greatest self-help. His word will lead you and guide you and prosper you and develop you. And it was the gifts that you have in you, reading God's word, praying, and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, it will be a much better way to develop and be prosperous in these self-help groups and these motivational speakers and all that you go through. They're okay, but God has a bigger plan. You probably heard that verse. You probably also heard the word turn mammon and place some money at the end of it. Mammon was a word that primarily represented money and possessions. It's also used to refer to lust of all types. So if you're serving God with your resources of time, energy, talent, and with your money, then staying focused on God will naturally flow. We should desire God more than we do money. They say money is the root of all evil. The only way it's the root of all evil if we make it the primary thing in our life, the dominant thing. We're chasing money. We shouldn't chase money. Money should chase us. Money will chase us if we serve God and give him our time and our energy and our talent. Money will chase us and run us down. The fifth way to focus on God is to remove sin from your life. This could be one of the first points in the list as well. What I might mean by this is to remove habitual, continuous, sinful habits and patterns from your life. Now, maybe you're living with somebody and you're not married and you want to do the right thing. You want to get married. So then you separate and you date. And when it's time for you guys to be married, you do. But if you constantly live together saying, well, we getting ready to get married, that's still okay. That's not okay with God. God can't bless no mess. He can't bless you in a situation if you already know it's wrong and you continue to stay in it. If you're doing things and you know it's not wrong, it's not right, I mean, you can keep on asking God to forgive you, give you the strength to help you get out of it. That's one way of getting out of it. It's difficult sometimes. But if you ask God to give you the strength to do it, and every time your spirit gets convicted and you push away a little bit longer, sooner or later, you're going to be out of the situation altogether. And then God can bless it. But he can't bless you. He can't bless the situation as long as you're doing it contrary to his will and his word. Hebrews 12:1 says, since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. I know people, they get into relationships, and all of a sudden they forget about God. Now they have found an earthly vessel that will love them and give them compassion and stuff, and they forget about the true unconditional love of God until that situation doesn't work out anymore, until something goes wrong. Then all of a sudden they're calling on God again. You can't replace God with this earthly love. It's a whole different type of love. God will bless us. He made Adam and Eve for each other. He said he don't want anybody to be alone. But as long as we are single, we should always have God first. That's why, because we don't have any distractions there. There's not supposed to be anything between us and God. And then when you get married, the husband is supposed to be the one that even helps you get closer to God. He's supposed to love you as God loves the church. But God is always supposed to be the center point of anything that's going on in our life. If there is something, someone, some place, or anything in your life that's leading you away from God in any way, or that keeps you out of prayer, away from fellowship with other believers, or distracts you from reading your Bible, you have one option, and only one. Remove that thing from your life. Stay focused on God, or growing in your spiritual prayer and Christian life in any way. Any habitual sin in your life is next to impossible if you don't stay away from God. We have to kill sin, or it will kill us spiritually, physically, or even both. Amen. It says countless times, our life is a marathon, not a sprint. When staying focused on God, this becomes especially evident. Hebrews 12:1 says, we must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. Hebrews 12:2 says we must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. If we take these 5 steps and make them daily habits, it will deepen our spiritual life and help us to stay focused on God. Lord God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for our apostle, our bishop, Mr. Diane Benjamin, Pastor Sharon, Pastor George. We thank you for Deacon Michael being out of the hospital. We thank you, Lord God, for healing virtues flowing throughout this radio blog talk today, Father. We thank you, Father God, that people have heard your word, and those that will listen to the recording, Lord God, that it will stand, it will stick, it will become a standard, Lord God, that they will follow steps, Lord God. They will find ways, Lord God, to stay focused on you and let all distractions, all sin, all things that are causing them to be further away from you, they will let it be removed from their life. Lord God, I ask you to change or move anything, anyone, any situation, Lord God, that will cause us to become further away from you. And we just give you all the praise, Lord God, all the glory, all the blessings. We love you, Daddy God, because you love us so, so very much. We just glorify your name and ask you to bless this Blog Talk Radio in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, y'all ought to clap your hands. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Well, praise God. About time for us to go off until tomorrow. Praise God. And we may have a surprise for you tomorrow. Bless God. Yes, yes, yes. We may have a surprise for us tomorrow. No, well, what's wrong with you? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We'll have a surprise tomorrow. So, Diane, Sister Diane. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that awesome word coming from Apostle Porter and Pastor Dungy. Staying focused on the word of God today, stay focused. They all give you keys on how to stay focused
on God and anything that will take your mind or your focus off of God, you need to remove it from your life. Stay focused today. Tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That call number is 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Or you can tune into blogtalkradio.com/timetotalkaboutit and listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter put out there. It's some awesome listening. Share it with a friend. Don't just keep it to yourself. Share it. And know that at any point in time during the broadcast that you need prayer, you would like to accept the Lord into your life, or you have a praise report, don't hesitate to hit the one button and we'll be happy to talk with you. You can send your donations, your tithes, your offering. Bless the woman of God. Bless the radio ministry. You can send it to P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida, 32704. That's the City of Victory, P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida, 32704. Or you can visit our website at logianinternationalministries.com, and you can hit the donate button, and you can plant your seed, do anything. Just bless the woman of God today, and know that God loves you. The word that comes forth on this broadcast, God is the one that instructed, not apostle, not Pastor Dungy, not Pastor Sharon, not Deacon Michael, but God, and it is a word for someone today. So tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Till then, be blessed, and smile, because God loves you, and share the love with someone else.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. And I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. And he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying how the story ends,
when I let go, let go, let God, oh. God.